Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Hello, I'm Dan Bardell. Welcome to 1874, The Athletic's podcast all about Aston Villa Football Club. Joined by Greg Evans to discuss Manchester City 3, Aston Villa 2, look at the season in general, and already we have some exciting transfer news. Greg, just noticing the script that the producers put Manchester City 2, Aston Villa 3. If only that was the case.
Yeah, it certainly felt like it was going to be a Villa win for quite a long time of that game. An incredible, incredible day at the Etihad. I mean, you know, just disappointing it from a Villa perspective in the end, but a pleasure to be a part of such an incredible game and see Manchester City win the league like that. But just really disappointing for Villa in the end, you know, to go 2-0 up against any team, you expect then to at least get something from the game with just a short amount of the game remaining. But unfortunately, Villa weren't able to.
I feel in some ways like I have no right to be upset at Villa losing 3-2 to Manchester City at all. But I am very upset because if you're 2-0 up, I can accept being 2-0 up and losing 3-2 even. I can't accept conceding 3 goals in 6 minutes. That's the aspect I'm really struggling with, and it's that fragility that's been there all season, really, of just shooting themselves in the foot. They just got themselves into such a wonderful position, and then to just capitulate in such a short space of time. Now, City are an unbelievable side, so, you know, it can happen, but I don't think it should happen in the way it happened.
Yeah, I reflected that in my report. I said losing 3-2 to City is never an embarrassment at all, but conceding 3 goals in 6 minutes really is. And it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you're in the same division as a team and you concede 3 goals, it's an embarrassment. It really is. You know, there are clear issues there. We spoke about this at length when Villa conceded 3 goals in 14 minutes against Wolves.
Looks like a defensive masterclass now.
Yeah, well, look, that was awful. That was actually worse than yesterday. But that was a result and a collapse that cost Dean Smith his job. I certainly don't think this will have the same impact for Steven Gerrard, because I think it will be a defeat that will be quickly forgotten. You know, that the season's finished now, it's a just chance for Villa to press the reset button over the summer and start again with a few new players included in the squad from the start of next season, no doubt. Boubacar Kamara obviously is already in the door. And Villa will just forget about this very quick. I mean,
does it not work the other way a little bit, where it's the last game and you've got ages to dwell on it? Does it not work that way? I think I'll be dwelling on it for a long time.
They move on very quickly. Players will move on quickly. Most of them will be on holiday already now.
That's true.
And they'll be switching off. They'll look back on the season and analyse it, and there'll be certain individuals in that squad that will be fearing for their place next season. But there are others that just need a little bit of help and support around the edges to make them to help them actually show that they are very good players and that they're capable of taking Villa forward. We are talking about a defeat, obviously, so, you know, it's going to be a little bit negative and downbeat, and we'll hear from certain Villa fans a bit later on in the pod about how they feel, the season in general, how they describe it and how they wrapped it up. But what we've got to remember is Villa were excellent for a long spell of this game, and people who weren't at the game wouldn't have felt the genuine despair and panic amongst City players. Remember Jesus, Mr. Sitter. De Bruyne was nowhere near himself. He blazed one over the bar as well at 2-0, I think, and made some strange decisions that you'd usually expect him to make better decisions in. There was genuine panic amongst supporters around me, and that was in the posh seats. You know, there was people that were really it was a mix of frustration and but also actual anger as well. You know, a couple of people walked out. I think they came back towards the end.
I saw people walking out when Coutinho was celebrating.
Yeah. And like when Coutinho scored, I mean, Pep Guardiola was pacing around his dugout like he'd put too many sweeteners in his coffee. I don't think he knew what the hell was going on and what to do. Jack Grealish, of course, there was another subplot and a side story to it. His face was quite a picture when Pep turned to Gundogan as the last player to come on. And
good decision, though.
I actually thought, wow, you know, you're leaving a £100 million player on the bench when you're desperately searching for this game. But the substitutes were brilliant. I mean, Zinchenko was exceptional. Gundogan obviously got his two goals. And Sterling provided one of the first goals. So all three substitutes made a difference. But I just think there was a lot that was good about Villa. But unfortunately, it's just that little bit of a fragility in the side that needs to be repaired.
Because I tweeted last night, I did some rash tweets whilst the game was going on. I really struggled with being professional yesterday on social media. But, you know, they do so well for that long and look so astute defensively. Chambers was having the game of his life. They just looked solid. Man City did not look like they knew how to break Villa down. They were panic stations, like you say, making decisions that they don't usually make, these top players, because of the pressure. But then as soon as you concede one, you know what's coming. I knew that Villa would lose that game as soon as Manchester City pulled one back. You just know. It's almost like the players knew as well and felt the same.
Yeah, perhaps a little bit. I mean, I hear this losing mentality in the club. I keep hearing it and I'm just not buying it.
But you can say you're not buying it.
It's not a losing mentality.
But we've lost 50% of our games that we played this season, so that's a lot of losses.
There's not. Yes, there is. But there's not a losing, in quotes marks, mentality at the club. The players don't go out and think we're going to lose, we're going to concede this. That's a losing mentality. It's not. I look back at it and I think, right, it's a lack of quality for me. Manchester City are much better than Aston Villa, and when they really, really, really want it, they can go and do it. Just like Aston Villa
did. Wolves are much better than Villa, and Villa, we had the same problem in that game.
Okay, so the way I look at it, right, is I'm going to take it back to the year when Villa were promoted from the Championship, 2018-2019. There was a game at Rotherham, Villa go 1-0 down, and they go down to 10 men. John McGinn and Jack Grealish were incredible that day. They were what the Championship... They were what Kevin De Bruyne and Ilkay Gundogan were in the Premier League in the Championship yesterday. That was the difference. Did everyone say Rotherham had a losing mentality because they lost and they went down? No, Aston Villa were a better team with better quality players, just like Man City were yesterday. The good players are able to do that. Zinchenko's come off the bench and play that well. I mean, it's incredible. You got three substitutes who are coming on that are no worse, if not better, than the players they're replacing. Villa haven't quite got that yet, as the substitutes show.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
You don't have to agree, Dan, but I don't think there's a losing mentality.
I don't necessarily think there's a losing mentality, but I do think there's a problem if you've lost 50% of your games through a season. That there's something,
there's a
mental problem there because you've lost a lot of games by one goal as well. There's a problem there. So there's something that needs ironing out.
It's a lack of quality.
I would say there's a lack of quality in central midfield area, perhaps, but the rest of it. You know, are you saying about Zinchenko? I'd say Luka Dean better than Zinchenko.
But I don't think Luka Dean's a problem at Aston Villa, but there are other positions.
No, he's not. I'm just saying there's some quality players in that Villa side. You've got Coutinho
exactly,
and Buendia. One of the problems was that Coutinho came off, I think. I mean, you'll know better than me. Was there an injury? Was he tired? But that substitution, that killed any momentum that Villa had. I actually think Villa, it's easy to say in hindsight, and I know that. If we'd have left Coutinho on, actually we might have got a third because the space was going to open up a lot. And a player like Coutinho in space, he's going to cause problems as he did by getting the second goal. I actually think that was a massive error, taking Coutinho off for Nakamba.
Yeah, I think I do. I definitely agree with you on that. I haven't been Coutinho's biggest fan over the last couple of weeks because I think he's underperformed.
He lost a bit of form, yeah.
But I think that he was making a difference yesterday. Ollie Watkins, somebody who I have supported throughout the season consistently, and I've said to Villa fans, encourage him. You know, he's somebody who needs that encouragement, and he's done very, very well over two seasons. I thought he had his worst game in a Villa shirt yesterday. okay, got an assist for Coutinho's goal, but I just think he was a little bit wasteful in possession. And there were opportunities when Villa, you know, had the chance to run at the Man City defence and cause even more problems and maybe even get more goals, as mad as that sounds. But those opportunities were wasted. Coutinho, and it's very unlike Villa, isn't it, this season, in a season where the theme is that they've missed so many chances. Coutinho was so ruthless, and so was Matty Cash with that header and another brilliant assist from Digne. So I think the slender nature of Villa's defeats this season, and the fact that they've only drawn six games. If they'd have drawn six of those 19 defeats, they'd be mid-table. If they'd have drawn six and won one of those 19 defeats, they'd probably be in Europe. I mean, that is the difference. It's such a slender margin. And it's like Villa have signed Boubacar Kamara now, a player who I've spoke to many, many different people in France over the last couple of weeks about him, because it's a signing that I knew Villa were trying to desperately to make. And every single person that I speak to says the same thing. They say this is a real good piece of business for Villa, and somebody who will help take the club forward. There are slight weaknesses in his game, but what he's going to come in and do is actually defend in that midfield, holding midfield role, and Villa haven't got anybody who can do that at the moment, let's be honest.
He's 22 as well, so you know he's not at his ceiling currently.
Yeah, and look, you know, he's got a real history in and depth of as a defender. He's played most of his youth career as a centre-back and developed into a holding midfielder, so he wants to defend, he knows how to defend, and he's going to help that team.
He's also just got into the France squad, and that is a strong France squad. To break into that, doing what he's done, you know, that I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I've watched him play loads, because I haven't. I've seen snippets of him, but I can't say I've ever sat there and watched 90 minutes of him playing football. But I know he's very, very highly rated. And like you say, you speak to people and they all rave about him. The fact that Villa have pulled someone who's just got in the France squad, who, you know, Atletico Madrid wanted. Atletico Madrid must hate Villa at the moment. They wanted Matty Cash, he signed a new deal. And then we've stolen a defensive midfielder from under their nose. But to get, you know, they're going to be offering Champions League football. For Villa to be able to go and get him over Atleta, that is a huge, huge statement. It's a big signing.
Yeah, it's a big pull. And I think it goes back to what I'm trying to say about there isn't a losing mentality at Villa. If you speak to Christian Perslow, which I have done on many occasions, he sells the club in an incredibly positive way. He's a massive winner himself in his career. You know, what he's done in business, and you know, hugely successful and wealthy businessman. And the way he talks about Villa and the way he speaks to potential signings about what Villa are trying to do and what they're going to do, there's no losing mentality there. The same with Steven Gerrard, the manager. We all know what a successful winner he is. No losing mentality there.
I agree with you on that. Dan, I would say everyone behind the scenes has done everything.
You've sat and listened at length to Tyrone Mings, the captain, talk about Aston Villa, about his game, about what he wants for the club. No losing mentality there. John McGinn, the same. Luca Dean, a player who desperately wants to perform for his club and country, to be recognised as one of the most attacking left backs in the division, joined Villa because they signed Coutinho and Gerrard sold him the dream. No losing mentality there. I think there's a lot of players that really want it, and they just need a little bit of support around them.
I agree with you to an extent, but I keep harping back to, if you lose 19 games, there is something wrong. I don't think Villa should. I think Villa squad, you look at that team. That team shouldn't be losing 19 games in a season, in my opinion.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
I get what you're saying, that they need a couple of extra bodies. They probably need a little bit of experience in there, which we know they're trying to rectify at the moment. But that team should not be losing 19 games.
It shouldn't, no, but the only point I'm trying to make here is Villa have underperformed, yeah? I think we can both agree on that. Villa need to be better next season because the pressure is on. I think we can both also agree on that. But it's the... there's a losing mentality, we should be doing better type thing. Villa in the Championship 3 seasons ago, they've made huge strides to get to where they are now, to signing one of the best freebies on the market.
It's a huge signing, that. A huge,
you know, ahead of lots of other clubs who are looking at him. Let's be honest, you know, if it wasn't for Boubacar Kamara, Marseille probably wouldn't have finished second in Ligue 1 this season as well. He's had a very good season for them. They've just signed Philippe Coutinho as well, you know, another from Barcelona. Villa are now moving into this area where they are competing in the market with other teams who they weren't really on that level with in previous years. And to make up that ground in 3 years is very, very good. And next season, I think there's a lot of pressure on them, because I think if they don't finish in the top eight next year, then it will be looked at as what the hell is going wrong, because you can't keep spending this amount of money on players and steadily increasing the wage bill every single year and not seeing, you know, genuine improvement. Villa are now established in the Premier League, I'd say. Survived in the first season, just about. Now two mid to low ranking positions in the following season. I think most, I think I said this last week, you know, if you speak to a lot of people neutrally and ask them out of the Brightons and the Leicesters and the Crystal Palaces and the Villas and the Southamptons and etc., who have got the best chance of kicking on and trying to do what Wolves did for so long this season and compete with the top seven, Villa are the guys that most people say.
Yeah, I don't think for 1 second you were digging out the Villa fans. I don't think that was what you were doing. But in defence of them, what I would say is, I keep saying it, if you've lost 50% of your games through a season, you're experiencing that losing feeling a lot through a season. So it makes things perhaps feel like they're further away from being a success than they are, because you've spent 50% of the season coming home thinking, but yeah, we've lost again. I do think making that jump to top eight, I don't think it will take that much now. I do think with a couple of savvy additions, Villa will make that push if they're smart in the summer. And from everything we hear, it sounds like they are going to be smart. They're going to use money wisely. They're perhaps not going to be as free spending with the cash as they have been. I think you can see that by bringing in a free transfer. Perhaps there's another free transfer to come. And then they can go big maybe in a couple of positions. I don't think we'll see the crazy 30-plus million on loads of players like we've seen in previous summers. It'll be a bit measured. I don't think the jump to getting top eight is that difficult, because I look at Wolves, I don't think Villa are too far away from that if they get the signings right.
They're in a bit of trouble, aren't they, Wolves? Yeah, I think they're on the slide, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to have to go in a different direction. I think the direction they've taken the last few years isn't going to work anymore.
Yeah,
I think they need something a bit different.
Feel like they're on the slide. I mean, the one club who feel a little bit more progressive, perhaps, are Crystal Palace. They are maybe the
Newcastle are the ones I'm concerned about.
Newcastle, of course, yeah, you know,
because they've got the backing
with the money behind them and a little bit of momentum. I know you mentioned earlier, Dan, that losing the last game of the season, players could often stew on that. I think they try to forget that, but if you've had a good run, you can build on that over a summer period.
That's what happened to Villa, isn't it?
Newcastle have had that, haven't they?
Villa had that the season they started up. They obviously ended the season really well, and then they started the next season like a house on fire, because they had a bit of momentum, they had a bit of fire in their belly, and they had a bit of belief. That's the bit that concerns me a little bit. We've ended the season not great. We had a mini revival after a bad run, but then it's gone. You know, draws with Crystal Palace and Burnley at home are pretty uninspiring, if I'm being honest. Are people expecting? I think Villa fans might be expecting a full makeover of this squad in the summer, like a lot of business. I don't see that there'll be loads of outgoings. The people that'll go are the ones that are out alone already, with perhaps the exception of one or two. It won't be wholesale changes. It'll just be adding to what
look,
we've got.
It's not major surgery then, and major surgery isn't needed.
It's not the answer either.
I had a message from a mutual friend of ours, Dan, last night, and he said get rid of 90% of this squad.
100% guess who that was.
And we won't name and shame him because neither of us will agree on that. But yeah, so the key for Villa is to just bring in a few new players, add a bit of strength and depth around the squad, move on some of the players that are not going to feature too much, and I think just having a bit more of a less chaotic, shall we say, season. I mean, Villa's key aims are get the business done early if possible. Every club will be saying the same, of course, but Villa have already made a real head start on that with Coutinho and Kamara. Not sack a manager halfway through a season and have that upheaval. Not sell your best player and your captain in the summer and then have to reevaluate to try and patch up the gap that he has left. And then specifically on the pitch, just cut out some of those individual mistakes and take some of the chances that they create. I mean, that would be the 5-point plan for Villa. And if they hit all those targets, they'll finish in the top half for sure because the quality's there.
You know, you've wrote about the Kamara deal and the way Villa operate. Do you just want to speak a little bit about that for those who aren't subscribed and those that haven't read it yet?
Yeah, so the full details are in the article. I'll just touch on some of it briefly. If we look back, I think me included, and a lot of other Villa fans have wondered why Villa haven't signed a defensive midfielder for 6 transfer windows now.
It's been on my mind.
Yeah. I mean, the last signing before Boubacar Kamara, incredibly, it was Marvellous Nakamba back after Villa had just won promotion from the Championship. So it's been a long history, really, of players who they've looked at, considered, thought maybe he's going to be a little bit too much, or have either been rejected by and have now come to Kamara. So if you look back to last summer, Villa were interested in signing James Ward-Prowse from Southampton.
But he wouldn't have been the defensive midfielder, would he? I
think he would have played there. I think he would have played there. I think so, yeah. I mean, well, he would have certainly played in more of a central defensive role. So, you know, they looked at him. They decided that the money was going to be too much, that they weren't prepared to pay that money. Southampton were looking at £45 million plus before they even entertained any offer. So that was quickly scrapped. Yves Bissouma was another one that was on the radar for 2 summers. Villa had considered him and thought perhaps if they could move Douglas Luiz on, that they'd bring him in and use that money to facilitate that. Again, another bid was lodged in January. Steven Gerrard confirmed that. We understand that it was a relatively low bid because Villa always had their eye on Boubacar Kamara and they thought they wanted to explore the opportunity when he became a free agent. So the scouting trips that Villa started stemmed right back to 2021. You know, they were watching Kamara play for Marseille last year. There was a breakthrough in the deal in April. I was hearing some whispers that Villa had agreed to get that deal done. All the noises out of France were that he was going to go to Atletico Madrid. But over the weekend, we got the confirmation that he was coming to Aston Villa. And it's been a real long slog for Villa to get him. They've worked hard. We've seen that Gerrard and Christian Perslow and Johan Langer went over there last month to try and finalise the deal. And just to cement that he was the guy that they wanted. And look, have a read of the report and it will go into much more detail about how Villa got the deal done and what type of player he is. But I think in short, he's going to improve what Villa have got there already.
This is where Gerrard comes into play, isn't it, with his reputation and the pull that he has?
Well, yeah, big time. I mean, you know, Coutinho wouldn't have signed if it wasn't for Gerrard. We spoke about that on last week's podcast. Luca Dean then wouldn't have signed because Coutinho didn't sign, so he was looking for a really ambitious club. Gerrard sold him that dream. And again, this time, you know, there were Atletico Madrid were seriously into him, and there were other clubs in Italy and England who had registered an interest and were thinking about it too. But Gerrard was the guy who really mapped out the plan for him. He said, this is how you're going to fit in to our squad, how, you know, where the club is planning to go, how you'll be a big part of it. And sometimes players need that. They just need that They just need that that clarity almost. Just that they want to feel really, really wanted. And if you've got, you know, five or six offers on the table, or five or six clubs that you're after, and one really stands out because you've got a guy like Steven Gerrard saying, you can come and play at Villa, we're going to kick on to big things, you're going to be a big part of it, you're going to light up the Premier League. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. For those who aren't subscribed to The Athletic, there is an offer at the moment. If you just head to theathletic.com/VillaPod, you'll get it for £1 per month for your first 6 months. So there'll be plenty of content from Greg through the summer, plenty of transfer stuff going on, hopefully, that Greg will be writing about. So yeah, go and read that article because it is a really interesting piece. Greg's put some serious groundwork into knowing what was happening with that deal. So if you're not already an Athletic subscriber, take advantage of that deal. Just before we move on to the fans' thoughts of the season, Greg, on transfers. We've said that we don't think Villa will be having major surgery on the squad. They've obviously got Coutinho. They've got a defensive midfielder in, which has been an ask of Villa fans for a long, long time. Where else are they going to be looking? Are they still going to be looking at midfield? A striker, I assume?
Left back, definitely. They're looking at bringing in another addition at left back. They will be looking at perhaps a third striker, which I've mentioned for some time now. Centre back may also be an area as well. You know, wrote last week that James Tarkowski of Burnley, who's also out of contract, is a player that will interest Villa. And I think right back's okay. You know, you've got Matt Cash, player of the season, Kane Kessler-Hayden coming through.
What are they doing with Ashley Young?
Well, they've offered him a new deal, but he hasn't agreed that yet. So we're waiting to see whether he extends.
Because he feels like a trusted lieutenant of Jared. I didn't really like that substitution yesterday either. You know, you're chasing the game. Let's take Buendera for Ashley Young. I didn't like that sub either. Subs were a complete disaster yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I felt at the time perhaps that it was, this could be Ashley Young's last game. Let's get him on for the last few minutes. That was my initial thought when he came on.
Interesting. I just assumed, you know,
he hasn't signed a new deal yet, but has been offered one. So if there's a breakthrough, then, you know, that will happen soon, I imagine.
Okay. Thank you very much, Greg. As I say, keep your eye on The Athletic through the summer because Greg will be writing plenty on transfers, I'm sure.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's now look at the tweets summing up the season from the Villa fans. I put a tweet out yesterday asking for them to surmise how they felt the season has gone. And, you know, it was a regular theme of underwhelming, inconsistent, transitional, disappointing. There was quite a few buzzwords that were knocked about by the Villa fans. Alex Berwick says, I'm glad it's over. I virtually never think that. Lost a bit of love for it this year. Not sure what we want to be. I think Villa do know what they want to be, as we've already discussed, Greg. It just didn't happen this time round.
Yeah, I think it's Berwick, Alex Berwick, but
don't embarrass me, Greg.
Do you want to do it again? I think it's just
correct me. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, it's a shame really that Alex Berwick has to say that, because it was only what 18 months ago that fans weren't allowed inside the ground. We lost it all, didn't we? You know, we were watching from home, and
not you. Well,
I mean, I was at the games, of course, but, you know, supporters in general were watching from homes, and we lost it. You know, it's really sad to hear Villa fans having to, you know, say that now, really, so soon after COVID.
I mean, you'd be surprised that I'm going to bring up the 50% losing again. But I think that has made it seem worse. I was buzzing to be back. I remember the first game of the season at Watford away. I was so excited to be on an away day after so long without one. By the end of the first half, I was like, God, I wish we were in lockdown again. because it was just awful. They always managed to let you down, Villa. But it has been great to be back in the grounds. But I think just the nature of losing so many games has upset people because of that feeling of walking away having lost a lot of weeks.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Touched on this last week, the Midlands in general has turned into a bit of an unhappy place. You know, Wolves are getting on the supporters' backs. Birmingham have got their problems. West Brom have had a desperate season. And, Villa haven't finished very well either, have they? And it's just a shame, really, that football, something that usually picks people up has started to knock people down a little bit. There's a core group of Villa fans who I speak to, and they travel home in a way. They go to every single game. And I love their optimism because they go and they enjoy the day and they have a great day out. And if Villa win, brilliant. If they lose, they're frustrated for a bit, but they don't let it ruin the day.
Have a good night.
And I just think, I think that's great. You know, if that's your life and you want to do that every Saturday, fair play. You know, go and enjoy it.
Daniel Stachura, whose name I've potentially butchered there, he says, no progress on last season. Maybe Dino could have done better. Maybe. What do you make of that?
Yeah, a good point to bring up. You know, if Dean Smith had still been in charge and Villa had finished 14th in the league, I think there would have been quite a lot of people saying time to move Dean on and try and get
you'd have got the sack, wouldn't you, for 14th?
I'd have thought so. I mean, I'd have thought so. 14th was the lowest acceptable position Villa could have finished in. All the bonus payments were structured around finishing 14th or higher. So that's where Villa were at the start of the season. So, yeah, I think if Dean had still been in charge, there would be plenty of supporters asking for him to be moved on now and bringing somebody in who could help Villa finish higher up in the league. So, unfortunately for Gerrard, he hasn't managed to do that. But what I would say is that, you look at the points difference, it's one or two wins different away from getting into the top half, and then three wins away from getting into Europe. So those are the fine margins in the Premier League. You need to be on the right side of them.
I also don't think you can judge Gerrard too much for 14.
No, I'm not judging Gerrard.
I don't mean to thinking out loud.
Yeah, I don't mean to say that's Steven Gerrard underperforming, because I certainly don't share that. I think if Villa are 14th midway through next season, then Gerrard will be underperforming and it will need consideration. But right now, it's all about next season, isn't it?
I like this one from Sean. He uses the word underwhelming to start, which, as I say, was a regular pattern on the tweets. Massive pre-season to get Coutinho, Bailey and Buendia fully prepared and bring in some big players to improve our side. Obviously, we've already done that. Chambers and Dean both proving great signings. Next season will be a different story. I like that from Sean.
Yeah, that's a bit of optimism there, isn't it? A bit of positivity. It's what we need going into the summer. I think, Kamara coming in, if he can play as well as he has done in France, then he will add that solidity in front of them. I've been really impressed with Chambers.
Yeah, me too.
I think it was almost inevitable that Villa were going to tire on Sunday against Man City, especially having played, a really tough game against Burnley just 3 days earlier. For Chambers, for example, to have two games in 4 days when he hadn't really played much, that might have been tough for him to just keep his concentration levels high. And Villa had the same back four, didn't they, and a new goalkeeper, so there were always going to be chances for Man City, I felt. Looking ahead to next season, I think Dina with a full season, if he's able to stay fit for a full season, will be a big improvement. Matt Cash will kick on again, I'm sure. Four goals and
that's
three
a great season from Robert.
It's decent, isn't it? It's decent. Get the central back pairing, cemented, whether it's Cons and Mings or Chambers or a new signing, Tarkowski, perhaps, with Kamara in front of them. I think there's a lot to look forward to there.
What of Leon Bailey? Because I think a lot of people wrongly assume he'll be sold in the summer. I disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, if he's sold, then it's really bad. It's really stupid from Villa, I think, in some ways. Unless they can get the money back for
which
him
they
that they paid, which they wouldn't, then I think it's really bad business. I think you can't just keep giving up on players after having one bad season. It's been really stop-start for Leon Bailey. They signed him on the back of what they thought was a real detailed plan.
He's such a good player. I saw a lot of him in Germany. I know he's a great player.
Yeah, and look, I've said this many times on podcasts. Villa had other options that they could have gone for, but they put all their eggs in the Bailey basket because they really believed in him. They had scouted him extensively. They'd spent lots of time putting together his data and showing how he would fit in and how he would make this team better. It hasn't worked for him yet because he's hardly ever been fit, but you can't just keep writing off players. Sanson you probably have to write off just because you can't see how he's gonna fit in with, you know, Villa buying more midfielders. But Bailey can still play a part, I think.
Yeah, he's such a good player. I would have said when we signed him, he was a player above Villa Station at the time when they bought him in. He just hasn't worked because of injuries. He hasn't been able to stay fit. But you can't just write someone off after one season who cost you in the 30s in terms of money, £30 million. Because you won't get that back, or you'll end up loaning him out and paying a massive proportion of his wages. It's just not worth it. If Villa can get him right, there's a hell of a player there.
Yeah.
So you have to stick with people. You just have to. You can't write them off after one iffy season. There's absolutely no chance. Ian McMaster, who obviously never forgets anything that I've said, says, we lost 19 games, Dan. More than Leeds, more than Burnley and Newcastle, who you'd written off. I'm happy we don't have a relegation dogfight nowadays, but it's right to feel let down after the money invested. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think you were wrong with Arsenal and Newcastle, weren't you, Dan? Yeah.
I mean, Arsenal should have got Champions League, Greg, and they did not.
Still improvement, though, isn't it? Fifth.
Yeah.
You said they were a club on the slide. They rose from eighth to fifth.
I think I've missed a big opportunity here. Maybe I'm a year out.
They've definitely made progress.
I agree with you, but maybe I was a year out. I think not getting Champions League could really hurt them.
Nah, they're progressive. They've got good young players who are growing into that team, I think. And look, they've only just missed out. Yeah, it was a big opportunity.
I want to go back and listen to 38 ways worth of podcast from you. See if you've ever said anything questionable, Greg. I bet there's something.
Listen, it was the listener that brought it up.
I know, but you enjoyed it. You enjoyed it too much. He didn't bring up Arsenal.
Did he not?
No,
oh, sorry. I thought he mentioned
Arsenal. Newcastle.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Dan got Arsenal wrong for all the listeners that didn't realise. But anyway, we'll move on. The question basically is in fitting with what every other supporter is. He seems to be saying it was an underwhelming season, wasn't it? That's pretty much the theme.
But he did say one thing about the relegation fight. I am happy we don't have that anymore.
Yeah. There were a couple of times where we felt that Villa might be dragged into it, though. I mean, yeah, when Dean Smith was sacked, if you remember, Villa were what, 2 points above the drop zone then. You know, there were genuine fears starting to creep in, else they wouldn't have sacked Dean Smith. And then also, when Gerrard went on that four-game losing streak, I think a couple of people started to wonder, what happens if Everton and Burnley and Leeds keep winning? Will Villa get caught? So
starting to get a little bit worried at one point.
There's been a few scares. It's been still a little bit too close for comfort, you know. But I think Villa are moving away from that now. And as I say, if you speak to 100 neutrals, I'm sure 90 of them would say that Villa have got a better chance of finishing in the top half than the bottom half next season.
Yeah, let's just finish with John Mayle. He says, I think since Gerrard has come in, we're 8th or 9th on form. It's not all bad.
Yeah, and that was the point I was trying to make earlier in the podcast. It's like that there are probably 6 or 7 teams in a similar boat. You know, Newcastle, Palace. Take Newcastle out because they've done exceptionally well since Eddie Howe came in. But you know, you look at the Palaces and Southampton and Brighton and Leicester. Villa are just a couple of points within those. So it's a case of trying to be better than those teams next season and get closer to that 7th position. The key will be, I think, to start taking points off the top teams a bit more often. Villa didn't take a single point off the top 5 teams, and they took just 4 points off the top 7 teams, and all 4 of those were against Man United, who had the worst season in his Premier League history.
And we still didn't beat them at Villa Park.
Yeah. And then you've got to avoid the games where, you know, losing to Brentford when they're on that terrible run of defeats, losing to Watford, who are awful over the season twice. I almost forgot the home game there. Those are the games you just need to be a bit better in, and yeah, you know, that makes a big difference in the season.
Yeah, just before we go then, Greg, I mean, it isn't in the script, so I haven't got one off the top of my head either, but what was your moment of the season before we end?
The moment of the season? Well, I'm actually writing a season review as we speak. And
so you'll know.
Yeah, I thought long and hard about this. My moment of the season was when Leon Bailey came off the bench for 21 minutes and looked like he was going to be a world beater.
Just what was in my mind as well. I was just thinking about how happy I was during that game and how well I thought things would go. Probably the win at Old Trafford as well.
That was big.
At the time when we didn't know Man U was so bad.
Yeah.
And that felt like a big win, didn't it?
It was a big win, and I think not one that I necessarily agree with, but I think something that was quite warming at a time where I also was a little bit disappointed with Villa supporters was when Jack Grealish came off the bench against Man City for Man City, and the whole Villa crowd sang "On Villa Till I Die." I thought that showed a real togetherness and a real unity, but at the same time, I was really disappointed with how a lot of Villa fans didn't welcome him back and booed him. I thought that was disappointing.
So that was your worst moment of the season?
No, that was just a moment that I considered mentioning and writing about, because it just feels so rare and unique that the Villa fan base now pull together, especially on a match day, and all sing together. So that was just something that every single supporter picked up upon. But I was disappointed with how a lot of supporters booed Grealish because of what he did for the club. Thought that was wrong.
I agree. I clapped him when he came on in that game. What was your worst moment of the season then?
Well, I can't go into too much detail, because I'm giving away everything in my season review, which is going live next week.
I'll give you mine. That Wolves game at home. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'll have nightmares about that game for the rest of my life. Absolutely horrendous. I was having a bad time in general in life at that point, and I was sat there at 2-0 just thinking, at least Villa haven't let me down. Good old Villa. Villa have cheered me up. And then they absolutely piled it on and went on a 5-game losing run after that. And I was just thinking, what is life? That was easily the worst moment of my season. Then when they lost 3-2 to Wolves, horrendous.
It was a bad day, wasn't it? That very bad day. Everything went against them.
Yeah, hopefully happier times ahead for Aston Villa Football Club. Like we've said, they made a good start to the transfer window with two bodies in already. So well done to everyone behind the scenes for getting the business done early. So that does us for this season. Thanks ever so much for the support of the podcast throughout the season. It's been great interacting with so many of you and listening to your views and discussing your views. I hope you have a wonderful summer. And as always, up the Villa.
Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.